name of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Ah, I can see you all again. At the end of last week's gospel, Jesus seemed to be on the verge of instigating a social revolution. He just said, "Blessed are you who are poor, hungry, sorrowful, and despised. And woe to you that are rich, fat, happy, and famous." The crowd who had been listening to him, most of whom were probably poor, must have heard this as a call to arms. It sounded as if Jesus was saying that the time was up for the rich and powerful, and the suffering of the poor was about to come to an end. It sounded like the start of a revolution to those who were there, and they must have been baying for it. At last, our time has come. I can almost see them picking up sticks and rocks off the ground. Those who had swords might be pulling them out of their sheaths. Jesus could announce the revolution at any moment. And when he did, boy, we were going to be ready to rush into the city, pull down the high and mighty from their thrones, and lift up the poor and the lowly. You can almost hear them whispering, "Say it, Jesus. Just say the word." Swords are raised, ready, sticks held high, stones in hand, ready for throwing. And Jesus says, "Listen, love your enemies." Wow. Can you imagine the impact those words would have had on such a crowd? But you've just said, "Woe to the rich." We've lost a little bit of the impact of what Jesus was saying because we've forgotten the social context into which it was said. He was speaking to a political powder keg, an oppressed people living under occupation of the hated Romans, desperate for change. I sometimes wonder whether Jesus wished he'd never said these words at all. Over the years, because we've forgotten the context of his words, "love your enemy" so often has been used to justify all sorts of violence and abuse to individuals and let that go unchallenged. One of the problems created by this saying is that it's so stark, it nearly always overshadows the rest of the passage. As a result, we hear almost nothing else and leave it almost always without that context. The passage as a whole is not about passivity. It's about active generosity. It begins with some sayings about how we should behave towards those who are hostile to us, and then works backwards to show that such behavior finds its source in the way God treats all of us. I think we may be able to hear it more clearly if we turn it round and look at the way God behaves first and then work our way through it to see how we should respond to it. The statement Jesus makes about the way God behaves is brief and to the point. God is merciful and generous to everyone, whether they deserve it or not, whether they're grateful for it or not. God is kind even to the ungrateful and the wicked. We often hear those words without giving them much thought, but they are a bombshell if you think about their implications. Many of us think about God as being first and foremost a God of justice. We understand justice to be a two-sided coin. The good will be revenged, rewarded, and the bad will be punished. "Revenge is mine, saith the Lord, surely." God will deal out justice. Those who've been deprived of justice will get the good things they so richly deserve. And those who have been abused and exploited and oppressed others will get their just reserts, surely. Providing you're confident about which side you're on, that's a pretty good and popular image of God. But it's not what Jesus is saying here. If God is a God of justice, then what Jesus is saying is that the justice that God deals out is very different to the one we're thinking about and wishing for. God is, says Jesus, merciful, generous, and kind to everyone, whether they deserve it or not. In fact, the Greek word that is translated in our Bible as mercy is better translated as compassion. Jesus does not say, love your enemies and do good to them, because what you're really going to do to them can be safely left to God later on. Instead, he says, love your enemies and do good to them, because that's the way God treats enemies. God is compassionate to those who deserve it or not. That is what God is like. The American theologian Frederick Buechner says, compassion is the sometimes fatal capacity for feeling what it's like to live inside someone else's skin. Compassion is more than sympathy. True compassion drives us to do something about the situation of the other. So when St. Paul says in Romans that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, what he means is that when we were enemies of God, God had compassion for us and suffered along with us and was moved to do something for us. And what he did was send Jesus, who embraced all of our anger, all our rage and sorrow and hatred and fear to the point of death. And with all our rage wrung out, we found ourselves saved by his embrace. This is the good news. And what we actually celebrate is that good news every week when we come here to worship. We celebrate it because when we take a good hard look at ourselves, we see that we too have an ugly side. We know that God searches us and knows us completely. And we know that if God treated us as we deserve on the basis of that searching, we'll be too busy fearing our own skin to worry about what just deserts anyone else would be getting. So we cry out, Lord, have mercy. And we celebrate the fact that God is compassionate and generous, even when we haven't deserved it, and long before we've shown any gratitude for it. We come to this table, and we're reminded over and over that God does not return the world's hostility and violence in kind. Instead of seeing a God who takes it on the chin only to wait patiently for the eventual day of judgment, we see Christ absorbing all the hatred and hostility of the world, all the worst that human beings can do to each other, and yet still cry out, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And more than that, we see Christ offering his own broken body back to those who broke it to be the source of their healing, the source of their wholeness. The whole context of the praise and thanksgiving that we offer is a context of completely undeserved love, generosity, and mercy. And it's in that context of a celebration of God's completely undeserved love, generosity, and mercy that we hear Jesus say, go and do likewise. We hear it very explicitly in the gospel today. But this too is a call we hear every week. Every time we gather for worship, every hearing of the good news and the celebration of God's love and mercy, we are sent out to go in peace, to love and share, serve the Lord. We celebrate Eucharist and then we go out and live Eucharistically. We live in a spirit of gratitude that we have experienced here and expressed here, to live out the generous love and mercy that we've been fed here. Now, if we begin to understand and get our heads around God's extravagant love and mercy shown to the undeserving and the deserving alike, then we can begin to see what Jesus is saying about loving our enemies and doing good to them. Perhaps we can even begin to see that Jesus is not calling for a passive of passivity which allows violence and abuse to go unchallenged. Rather, Jesus is calling us to challenge a violence with love and mercy rather than return it in kind. See, when Christ turns the other cheek, it's not as a frightened, abused child who has no other option. It is as one who knows that he has all the power, and just to say the word, and an army of angels would march and dispense justice. It is only one who has the potential to respond to violence with equal or greater violence who can meaningfully choose to turn the other cheek. In that context, turning the other cheek is a strong act that unmasks the unjust hostility of the attacker by refusing to come down to the same level. It challenges them to choose between making themselves look even worse or backing down and apologizing. It is never, ever the Christian response to tell someone who is a helpless victim of abuse to turn the other cheek. Never. God is not cruel. Only if they could meaningfully stand up on an equal footing with their abuser could there be such an option. Could it mean anything? What Jesus is calling us to do, if we are dealing with a person who is suffering from such abuse, is to step in and put ourselves in the firing line, in their place. We, who have the power to step in, we become the other cheek. It is often the case that confronted with someone who is seen to have equal power, an abuser will back down. The same is true with groups or even countries. If an equal power steps up and confronts the other, the aggressor, knowing now that the odds are equal, tends to back down and open negotiations. What Jesus is offering here is an alternative to the cycle of violence that can only perpetuate violence. He offers a radical non-violent approach that unmasks the evil that is taking place and offers in return the same kind of undeserved and outrageous generous love and mercy that we have encountered in God. We refuse to let the evil continue unchecked, but we also refuse to be dragged down to the level of responding in kind. Peace builders around the world now see that this approach to violent oppression, is the only way of bringing true and lasting peace into places of conflict. Not only is that actually a lot more likely to lead to genuine repentance on the part of those who abuse and therefore reduce the likelihood of them doing it again and again, but it's also a far more faithful response that enables all those who are involved in the conflict to begin the journey into healing and wholeness and fullness of life, where forgiveness can happen genuinely. Far from being a passive response to those who would abuse us or others, Jesus calls us to stand with the powerless and the abused, to break the cycle of violence that has so marred God's world since the beginning, and to respond to that violence by showing that there is another way of being, an alternative way of living, one where all people are equal, one where all people are our neighbour, whom we are called to love as ourselves. That is God's kingdom. That is the way of Christ. Amen.